Today's little reader for our scripture reading is Turner Lane.
And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works. You have a name of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is on the point of death. For I have not found your works perfect in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Obey it and repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. Yet you have still a few persons in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. If you conquer, you will be clothed like them, in white robes, and I will not blot your name out of the book of life. I will confess your name before my Father and before his angels. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Also another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And all were judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire, and anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Tana.
What a joy to see our youngsters. They are so nice. The famous German philosopher and atheist, Nietzsche's declaration, God is dead, brought great controversies in the late 19th century. Even today, this statement is often used among atheists. But many scholars who were studying on Nietzsche explained that the reason Nietzsche came to the conclusion of God is dead was not only because of his unbelief on the essential existence of God, but also churches in his era failed to manifest God was alive. The church may have outwardly existed, but there was no signs of life within it. Likewise, the church of Sardis, which we will be looking at today, was a church that was diagnosed as dead by the Lord, which, because it was a church that had no life in it and did not give any glory to God. In verse 1, Apostle John describes Jesus, the author of the letter to Sardis, to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. For Jews, the number seven is a divine number, meaning completion. The seven spirits are a symbol of the Holy Spirit in his fullness. And holding the seven stars means that Jesus is Lord of his seven churches representing all churches regardless of ages. God is omniscient. He sees and knows everything. God is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. Nothing can be hidden from the Spirit of God. Now, our Lord, who is full of the Spirit, declared his diagnosis on this church in the latter part of verse 1. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Can you imagine how shocking the Sardis church would have felt when they heard Jesus rebuking them as the dead church? Unlike other churches, it is difficult to understand why Jesus spoke so harshly to this church, because the passage did not specifically address the problems of this church. In the passage, we find no suffering persecution or no false doctrines. We find no mention of the Nicolaitans and their practice of idol worship and sexual immorality in the church. What has happened to this church over the years? Sardis was one of the oldest cities of Asia Minor. When Persia controlled the region, Sardis had actually been the capital city, but under the Romans, it had faded into insignificance. Sardis was a city where its best days were gone, now living off a reputation of past greatness. It seems that the Church of Sardis took on the character of the city too. They were Christians in name only. Apparently, there was a time when this church was very much alive and active, filled with the people who knew the Lord and were committed to doing good works. Because of that, they had a good reputation within the city, but our Lord has declared, "You may have a name of the living, but you are not alive, you are dead." The Sardis church was made up of people who outwardly professed Christ, but who actually possessed no spiritual life. There were no signs of life transformation or salvation or spiritual growth among church members. They were so comfortable in their current situation that they felt no need to bring new people. If a church has no zeal for the lost, can it truly be called a living church of Jesus Christ? However, we must be very cautious about judging the church by its outward appearance, because only our Lord, who holds seven spirits, knows whether a church is dead or alive. An important question to consider now is how to recover from being a dying church. In verses 2 and 3, our Lord revealed to them the steps of recovery because the Lord has not given up on them and confirmed he was still the Lord of that church. Our Lord told them that the first thing they needed was to wake up. Wake up. They must wake up as the army of the Lord to be prepared to fight against the attack of Satan. Then the second thing was strengthen what remains. They began at first their works out of love for Jesus, but now they were doing the works to maintain their reputation. So Jesus urges them to restore and complete what they had stopped doing. Third, the church must remember and repent. Verse 3 says, remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. What they received and heard, of course, was the gospel. They had heard about Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, and salvation. They also heard about how the Holy Spirit empowered them to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior at first. Then Jesus says, repent. In other words, turning back to the Lord with a whole pure heart, acknowledging Jesus as the Lord. The fourth thing they needed was to recover the hope of the Lord's return. Jesus says, but if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. The church at Sardis was not ready for the coming of the Lord. As we already considered Sardis as an old capital city in the past, was characterized by a complacent spirit, and that spirit of complacency had infected the church. Do you remember what I said about Satan's tactics, attacking churches a couple of weeks ago? Pastor Michelle, I don't remember what happened yesterday. How come you ask me about things before a couple of weeks ago? Satan's favorite tactic has not been changed much since the early church. Satan knows the most effective way to destroy the church is to tempt Christians to fall into complacency and lose their strength from inside. Now our Lord commanded them to wake up, be alert, be prepared to meet the Lord before it was too late. Because no one knows when our Lord will return to this world. How could they bring the Spirit's life back into their church? It was very simple. Three R. Can you name three R? Repent. Remember first. Remember, Repent, restore. 3 R. Remember. 3 R. Surprisingly, in verse 4, we get some good news from the Lord himself. He says, yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. White garments in the Bible always signifies Jesus' ministry of redemption. Even in a church like Sardis, there were those who loved and served the Lord from a pure heart. It reminds us of the time when Elijah, in his despair, felt like he was the only one left in the whole land of Israel. But do you remember what God told him? God told him that there were yet 7,000 people who had not bowed the knee to Baal in 1 Kings chapter 19. Even today, we are now living in an unbelieving world. But there are countless disciples of the Lord who are still faithfully serving the missions and ministries of the church in the world. Jesus promises to walk with them and recognizes them as worthy to be called true Christians. Perhaps the reason our Lord still has not yet returned to judge the world may be because of those few who have kept their pure faith in our Lord without succumbing to Mammon God or compromising God's word with secular cultures. The Lord believes that the world can be changed through his disciples, even if they are few, and would be patiently waiting for more people to return to God until time is up. Verse 5 says, I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. Many people have wondered whether we could lose salvation if we do not walk rightly before the Lord. But our Lord is simply ensuring those who trust him will never be blotted out. Sometimes when we have misbehaved badly, or when we have done things we are ashamed of, we ask ourselves, am I no longer a Christian? Have I lost my salvation? Our Lord knows that so well. So he's now here reassuring them. No, if you really are a believer, if you have come to Christ and have my life in you, I will never, ever, under any circumstances, blot out your name from the book of life. What a wonderful reassurance. Amen? I would like to focus on the book of life for a moment. Revelation chapter 20, verses 12 to 15, tells about the vision of the final judgment in heaven. The heavenly throne which represents the throne of judgment of God, stands before every person who has ever lived. In the vision, John sees two different sets of books. First, John sees books, the plural books, and another book, a singular book. Go home and read that part. You will understand that. The plural books that record every deed people have done, everything they think, say, and do. Everyone will be judged according to what is written in that books. And there is also another book called the Book of Life, which has the names of all believers who have been saved throughout ages. If each of us is judged by the deed we have done, no one will be saved. But by the grace of God, all believers whose names are written on the Book of Life will be saved. I know that there are some parts in my book, that I wish would never be opened. I just want to see myself. If I am judged by my deeds, thoughts, and words, I'm sure I will fall short of God's glory. Sorry, did I make some of you disappointed? Oh, Pastor Misha, I didn't know. My only hope is our Lord Jesus Christ, who has been seated at the right hand of God's throne. I can imagine the moment the angel declares, according to the books on the thrones, Michel Kim, fail. Then our Lord, who is in charge of the Book of Life, would proclaim, wait, Michelle's name is in my book, so I acknowledge her as my own. Hallelujah. Then the game is over. The party is on. Amen? Therefore, let us praise God for giving us a wonderful assurance of eternal life, even on this day, on this earth, based on the promises that Jesus gave to the church of Sardis. Dear congregants, God still loves the Sardis church. If Jesus didn't care, he wouldn't have written this letter. Today's message is a wake-up call for us because there are many dead and dying churches around us today. Our Lord would not let all his churches fall into the hands of Satan. The point is that they can be revived by following the command given by the Lord. Therefore, wherever we are spiritually, we can say, Lord, start with me. Do your work within me. Wake me up. Stir me up to love you and to serve you so that the world will know that I belong to you. May God wake us up and deliver us from a dying church so that we become once again the church of the living Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.